Welcome, everybody.
Good evening,
President. Approval of the minutes of the meeting of the Council held on the 10th September 2024. I've called this one on Council's website. Mr. Payne. Apologies for absence.
Mr. Mayor, we proceed to parties from Council Dobson.
Anybody else? Declaration of names. Announcements of Fallow 3-2 of the Council Procedure Rules.
Mr. Mayor, I and members, I'd like to ask a question to the Cabinet Member for Resources, which is, could the Cabinet Member for Resources outline the full impact of the recent Labour budget on all residents of Stafford Borough and on the financial sustainability of small businesses in the borough, of which the majority are small businesses, they're not multinationals. There are approximately 5,360 businesses in the borough, of which 98% are small employers of less than 50 people. So particularly on small businesses in the borough and in the rural areas, please.
I may remain seated, yes, thank you. For the benefit of the council, Mr. Mayor, I'm suffering from sciatica in both my legs. It's a bit painful to stand for any length of time. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Now, Mr. Mayor, I have read the question, and it does actually seem to be a query best suited to a central government response rather than a local one. Because as a local council, we do not control control central government policy. Also, the question is very broad-ranging in that it covers all, and I use that term in block categories, all residents, which presumably means from babies through to those right at the other end of life, along with all those in between. And no doubt, possibly, prisoners, those who are in a mental institution, the one sort or another. It is a huge ask. An enormous number of residents. In fact, the number of residents we have in the borough is something like 136,800. And so we are asked to deal with all those residents, not a subsection, it's a subset, but all those 136,000 residents. That's also an impact analysis of every small business, which was undefined in the questioner, although they have now been defined by the questioner, every small business in the borough, which is a huge ask. We've got to do financial impact on each of those businesses. Now, Mr. Mayor, the council will therefore have to determine the individual financial circumstances of every resident and small business within Stafford Borough. Clearly, Mr. Mayor, and with very great respect to the questioner, this is not possible for us to do without the expenditure of very, very considerable staffing and financial resources, which is likely to have a negative impact on service delivery, as, alas, the money cannot be spent twice. If we're spending the money on this data collection, which is what the questioner is asking us to do, in order that we can deal with financial impacts on all the residents and all the small businesses, that is going to cost a small fortune. And if we spend it on that, we cannot spend the same money on service delivery. Thank you,
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you for the, I was going to say answer, but there was no answer in there at all. It was sounded more like an excuse for not answering the question. Because whilst the question might be broad, there is no attempt to pick up any strand of any answer. So, for example, I could tell you the number of businesses in the borough, which is 5,360, and I'm surprised that the cabinet member didn't pick that up. I could tell you the number of people who are employed. It isn't the 136,800. The number of people employed in the borough is 69,800 people. The impact in the additional national insurance is £54.5 million that the businesses are going to be paying out, which means the next year they won't be able to employ new people, more people, because there's an extra burden on each individual employee within this borough. The burden on each individual employee is £781 a year that employers will have to pick up and pay. I'm surprised that the cabinet member didn't talk about the impact on farms, on small business, or even on the borough council itself. The borough council has a higher average wage within the council. Its average wage is £26,362. There are 230 employees, and the cost is another £190,000 a year. That is equivalent to another 2.4% on council tax. I'm surprised none of these figures have been given because, frankly, I can research them and the cabinet member or even any in the council could quite easily have picked up this. And I wonder whether the cabinet member would like to relook at his answer, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm going by the question. I think the important thing is we actually answer the question which is put.
You haven't tried.
And the question is, outline the full impact, on all residents of Stafford Borough and on the financial sustainability of small businesses in the borough, including those in the rural areas, which is all the businesses in the borough. And I gave the answer that in order to do that, we would need to do a financial impact on every single one of those businesses and on every single one of those residents. And frankly, I think if you ask the residents, would you like us to do this? Or would you rather we spent that money on services? I think I know what their answer would be.
Councillor Williams.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I can't let this go because of the impacts of this vile budget that's been foisted upon us. I have to declare a personal interest because I am a farmer. But what's more important is not my personal interest, but my son's personal interest. This won't impact me because I'll be dead. It's when I die that the inheritance tax kicks in. So I'm speaking for the next generation. Anyone who knows farming will know that it's not built up over days, months, years, but over generations. And honestly, you guys all around must realise that this budget will decimate generations of hard work.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, is this a question or is this a statement? Because I thought this was question time, so that it ought to be interrogative. There should be a question.
Are you going to get to a question?
Mr. Mayor, would you like some background into the question, which is what I'm doing now, because it's to put down on this and filibust something that's so important. We are a rural district at the end of the days. We are not a middle town place with high-rise flats. We're a place where people farm, where people have businesses in the country. These are the people it would affect. So I've got no problem, and I will come to a question in a few minutes. You may find it funny. It's a shame because this is really deadly serious. I've spoken to many farmers. They are nearly in tears about the state of their family farms. I've spoken to at least three farmers who are on the verge of taking their lives because they're so concerned. So giggle away as much as you want to. This is a really serious matter that is affecting people who the residents who live in our district. It's terrible. And my question is, will Staffordshire Council do everything in its power to lobby and persuade the Chancellor to repeal this horrendous budget? It shatters lives, it shatters businesses, and it's making our residents have to think about what they do or what they don't do, whether they have food as older people or warm. That is such a sad state to be in. And it just impacts so vilely on small businesses. I've heard of several businesses, as has Jeremy, where it's a double whammy. It's the cost of living, which we know about, the wage, which we agree with, but it's the bits behind the scenes that are affecting businesses. 8% is the figure that has been bandied around. 8% on their costs, that's 8% on the consumer, and that's 8% on people who just can't afford it anymore. So please, as I say in my question, will Staffordshire Council lobby to turn this budget over? Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, could I come back to this when we have a few more questions? I presume there will be some more questions.
I've got time to speak. We've got a fixed time, so we want to get the answer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Having heard from a farmer, I just want to focus on the farming industry and the problems it's going to face. I've worked the whole of my life with the agricultural industry, and I'm absolutely appalled at what is happening. As we absorb the enormity of the financial peril to the agricultural industry across this borough in consequence of the budget, is this administration making robust representations against the Chancellor's perilous existential assault on our borough's farming industry? And if so, can we have sight of those representations? Would they like some help in presenting the stark facts and implications to our countryside and our rural economy to the Chancellor? And the stark facts are these. The average family farm size in Stafford is 2024 is under 67 hectares. It's the smallest average farm size of all the English regions and smaller than the English average of 88 hectares. Yet the value of these farms, their specialised buildings, their livestock, their equipment and machinery, roadways and fencing, is obviously far above the absurd 1 million figure set by the Chancellor as the inheritance tax threshold, and also way beyond the much bandied £3 million threshold that Rachel Reeves is now touting. Thank you,
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The next fact that I know the back to the original question. Is that all right?
Yes.
Thank you. Because the original question is in fact asking us about the all small businesses in the borough. Now we've heard from people here who are talking only about barbers. In my view, when we're talking about all small businesses, you're actually talking about one-man businesses who are actually working from home and who are actually going out to provide services to the local community. And are we seriously asking, leader of the opposition, that we should, in Stafford Borough, go around all these people who are providing a one-man business to the people of Stafford and find out from them what is this financial impact on their business? And I'm thinking of all of the businesses. The ones who, for example, are offering a hairdressing business.
Can you make another question to Councillor?
Well, the question can be, it's actually to the leader of the opposition. Well, does Councillor Pete think it's going to have to go and ask all these people what are we going to
pick up the data
by this budget? And how are they going to go about doing that for every person in the world who is actually providing a sales in the world? Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, at the end of the 10-minute period,
no
question, so Councillor Cook wishes to provide an answer tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just to reiterate that I am answering the question as it appears on the council sheet. I do understand and I have sympathy with the fact that the opposition haven't had to do this sort of thing for about 20 odd years. So it's a very new experience for them. But I do think it's important that they get some practice in, they get some practice in, and that they will learn from experience how to phrase questions which get the sort of answer they want.
Thank you.
Rather than get an answer
that's
which
a very
they didn't intend. But then words mean something. Words just don't mean what you want them to mean. That's why you
thank
have to
you
be very careful with words, because they can bite you.
Thank you for the lesson. Thank you. Right, thanks very much for that. We'll move on then to Councillor Edgeley.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Good evening, everyone. Can the Cabinet Member for the Environment confirm when the Council was first made aware of the issue on Peach Avenue of Silkmore, Stafford? I personally reported neighbours' concerns a long time ago and no action was taken. The householder was using their garden as a waste disposal site with infestation of rats and other burning of rubbish through the day and night. Can he confirm what options were considered when this first came to the Council's attention? Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, Councillor Fisher, for raising an issue that I know has concerned the members in this chamber. I wish to start by acknowledging that it's a matter of great regret that the residents of Peach Avenue have to tolerate these problems. As I hope to explain, there was a legal process to follow and the need to resolve these issues for the long term so they wouldn't recur. As I shall also explain, the problems suffered by residents should now hopefully be over. To respond directly to the question,
So far as I have been able to establish, the council first received reports of inappropriate activity at Peach Avenue in late September of last year. Right. Visits by officers confirmed a genuine problem. The tenant was told that he must stop the activity, but proved uncooperative. Attempts were made to identify and contact the absentee landlord of what is a private property. Following reports of ongoing waste disposal of the property, the Environment Agency was contacted to investigate whether the tenant held any licences. He did not. The police were contacted and started checking vehicles that might be involved in waste disposal at the site. A van was found to have been used by the tenant to transport waste and was removed. An enviro crime warning letter was served on the tenant. Further dialogue with the tenant led to a promise that he would cease the activity, but this did not happen. The site was filmed as an evidentiary record should it be required, and the council acting as local planning authority served a section 215 notice under the terms of the Town and Country Planning Act. The notice required a clearing of the land within a 28-day period in order to protect residential immunity. A stop notice was also served shortly afterwards to prevent a further build-up of waste following the expected clearance. Despite the section 215 notice and the stop notice and further dialogue with the tenant, there was no change in behaviour at the end of the 28-day period. A formal letter was served on court to the owner of the property citing a failure to comply. The leader demanded that the problem be resolved without further delay. The senior officer was appointed to coordinate activity and drive things forward. Because it was an issue cutting across several cabin portfolios, the leader asked me to oversee progress. I can confirm to members that officers have achieved the first objective. The tenant has been evicted, the waste cleared, the house boarded up, and the site fenced off to prevent flighting. So how was this achieved? Officers worked with internal and external solicitors to schedule and prepare for a court hearing to consider a closure order on the property under the ASP Crime and Policing Act. Notice for court hearing was served on the tenant by officers with police support. Multiple visits were made to the site by pest control, environmental health and community safety to monitor activity, to bait the area to return home, and to further build the legal case. The court hearing was held on the 8th of November and resulted in the closure order being granted. This meant that the property had to be vacated and closed to all but authorised personnel for a period of 3 months. The waste clearance contractor was instructed to remove all waste of the property, and the lorry loads were taken away. Windows of the house were boarded up to prevent further unauthorised entry. A second contractor was used to fence off the site to prevent unauthorised access or flighting. Signs were erected at the site informing us unauthorised access would result in arrest. The site has been baited multiple times by our pest control team to eliminate vermin. Local residents have been notified that pest control will vacate their property without charge if they have experienced vermin as a result of the tenant's illegal activities. Our 3 householders have taken up this offer, and pest control will be rebating at each property for the next 4 weeks. The costs of these operations are being assessed, and the ex-tenant will be presented with the bill. Our second objective is to return the property to normal residential use. I can confirm to members that the council has received contact from the solicitor acting for the property owner, confirming that an order for possession has been granted the owner. This means that the council will not need to seek an extension of the closure order and the tenant can no longer return to the property. Therefore, we should achieve our second objective that the property will be let to a new tenant once the owner has carried out necessary repairs. And it should once more be a positive addition to the street scene. Now, there's been significant resource and cost expended over the months to deal with a complex issue, especially difficult when faced with an uncooperative tenant and an absentee landlord. And the need to end a serious situation for residents once and for all. The most important thing for me is that the situation resolved for residents. I must reiterate that we needed to achieve not only removal of this unsightly mess, but also to prevent it happening again. Without action being taken, or taken in the wrong sequence, that might well happen. And I'm sure that those will appreciate the level of activity that's been given to this issue now over an extended period. I'm equally sure that residents are relieved their ordeal is over, and I'm sure that members are relieved that an unsatisfactory situation has been resolved. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you for your reply, Councillor Foreman. But why, oh why, has it taken over 12 months to sort this problem out? I asked the Cabinet Member, did you visit the site? I did. Did you speak to the residents down on Beach Avenue? I did. Did you speak to the residents of the house that we're talking about? I did. I even actually in April sent an email saying this has been going on for months and it's taken over 12 months to sort this problem out with the agony that these people have gone through. Can the Cabinet member give me a guarantee, or give this council and the people, the residents of this borough, a guarantee that in the future that the Stafford Borough will not have to endure such a terrible situation again and action will be taken sooner than later? Because it's absolutely disgusting what these residents are about to put over. Picking the phone up, I've got rats running through my garden. I've got 16 rats I've killed in one day. This is absolutely ridiculous for it to hit the national papers and Midlands News on television. But they've put this council in such a situation, I think, is absolutely awful. Can the Cabinet Member guarantee that this will not happen in the future? Please. Thank you.
I think there's a few points I'd like to make in relation to those comments. The first is that residents have suffered too long. They've suffered too long because of an uncooperative tenant in a privately owned property where the landlord is not contacting. Now, you will have heard me say, I think, that there was a verbal warning given, a written warning given to the tenant. There was a written notice. There was a section 215. There was a stop notice. All of these are part of the process. And in each case, the tenant, you hope, will comply. In this case, totally uncooperative, but time was given for the tenant to comply. Time was given, as it should be, but the problems for the residents continue. So, the legal processes, various attempts to stop the activities, I expressed that when I became Cabinet Member, yes, I did go to the site, my goal was to ensure that it was resolved through halting the activity, removing the mess, bringing the house back into regular and acceptable use. This has been achieved. I think this is a very unusual and very complex situation, as I've outlined. I can't imagine there have been many cases where after four warnings, an individual has decided simply not to drive anymore. There's a limit to how far you can move after those situations and rules. So having tried several routes to resolve it, I think we should be in a much stronger position to prevent such a situation ever being repeated, which is Councillor Edwards' next point. What I can confirm that as a result, a new process led by a head of service reporting to the leadership team has been put in place for dealing with such urgent, complex, multi-agency, multifunctional cases such as this one, should they ever arise.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you. Can I thank the Cabinet Member for a full and frank response, which was informative. I guess my question is, will the Cabinet Member work with the rest of Cabinet to improve the answering of questions going forward? Because in my view, it was a model answer with a wide-ranging response, and I thank him very sincerely for his response.
Any other questions?
It's a question to him.
Mr. Mayor, as the borough councillor representing Beckside Ward, where this disastrous situation occurred, can I say how pleased I am to hear the cabinet member talk about what might happen in the future? And I would ask him again to emphasise. May we have an assurance that if anything like this happens in the future, that the officers will get together as soon as possible, almost like a COBRA committee we have nationally, coordinate action, learn from each other's experiences, and actually make sure that the situation is therefore seized, developed, and sorted out as soon as possible.
I do believe that that is the intention of cabinet and leadership team working together. That would be the case.
Thank you. Any further questions? No?
Yeah.
Thank you. Right. And then there's a motion from Councillor Kenny from Council.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. If we take the motion set out in front of you, I'd just like to add that the 3 days that we've cited are some of the busiest times of the year for shops, pubs, cafes and restaurants, and a host of other businesses. But we want to have them capitalise on the festive spirit by enticing more people into the town centre and staffing and staff. It will give an informed choice of which town centres to visit by visitors opting to use the town centres that have free car parks.
The second member deserves the right to speak. Any other members wishing to speak? Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Whilst I commend the council on this motion, I would like to say I would like to remind them that last year they were likened to Ebenezer sort of Scrooge in the paper because last year you didn't do this and the shoppers didn't have the opportunity to do the Christmas shopping at a time when there were a lot of issues with people's finances. So I'm really pleased that you've decided this year to do a U-turn and are deciding to lift it. However, I do wish to suggest that we make an amendment to the motion to read, the council is asked to approve the lifting of car park fees from 0900 to 2359 hours, Saturday the 7th, 14th and 21st of December, and 0900 to 2359 hours, Sunday the 8th, the 5th and the 22nd of December, with the inclusion of the Riverside and Waterfront car parks. Lifting fees on both Saturdays and Sundays will help increase the footfall to our town centres and to our smaller businesses on the outskirts. And it will also allow Saturday workers to take advantage of this year's council's generosity.
Yes.
Is that seconded?
Seconded with a reserve and right to speak.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is just a point of information for the council. The Riverside and Moorside car parks are not normally included in offers of free parking. I understand this is due to the way that the entry and egress to those car parks is managed, and it's rather a technical issue space in those car parks being allocated to contract parking. So these car parks generally are those that are used by shops using the high street. That's why up to date the focus on free parking has been offered in those car parks rather than riverside and waterside. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I take it we are speaking to the amendment now.
Yeah,
okay. Just very, very quickly, Mr. Mayor. Last year, I thought the new administration made the right decision because we weren't aware of all the financial implications of taking office. We are now. We have the money in reserves that we're putting forward to give the town centres of Stone and Stafford a real boost to the festive period. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Sunday these days is such an important shopping day in the week. Long since are the days where Sunday was a day when shops closed and didn't open, much like we don't see Wednesday afternoon closing. And I think to ensure that we maximise the investment that this council over a long period of time has been making in the town centres of Stone and Stafford, I think it is really important that we extend the car park, free car parking to the relevant Sundays on the run up to Christmas. The officers can easily investigate the solution of making that work, if that is the will of this council. And I seem to recollect an investment recently in removing the coin system or the token system, which would allow greater flexibility within the car parks. And so I think that this amendment, which I'm speaking to, is really important in terms of supporting town centre businesses and in supporting businesses in the run-up to Christmas in what is a really difficult time for many residents, and now with the national insurance increases, going to be very difficult for businesses.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. There's a question. Would the effect of this amendment then make the motion one which would have financial consequences for the council and therefore have to be referred to the cabinet? In which case, of course, the matter would then not be dealt with this side of Christmas. Thank you.
Well, the rules do say that the motion has financial impact and should first be considered by cabinets before being recommended to council. So, yes, there are further financial implications, which I'm not sure we're in a position to tell us in the meeting tonight.
Point of order. And in which case, how did the leader and the deputy leader of the council, both cabinet members, bring forward this motion without the financial impact in front of the councillors?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's been to cabinet.
It's not been on a cabinet agenda. It's not on a cabinet agenda. I look forward to seeing the detail of that because I haven't seen it.
This is a proposal from the executive leader that has executive powers under the Act, so technically he can bring his recommendation to council.
Just ask what the financial impact is.
Thank you, Ian. Well, having said that, can we know what the financial impact is, please? But in answer to the chief exec's input on this motion, I visited the Riverside Centre only a few days ago, and actually the barrier was up and there was no payment to be made. Why that was, I do not know. Which they can do it on that day, surely they can do it with this amendment. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We've just heard that it's in the largesse of the leader to make this going for this going forwards. Surely it's the same largesse to just change it so we have Saturday and Sunday. And I'd hate the leader to be the one who was playing Scrooge in all of this. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I fully really agree with the amendment that Councillor Phillips has brought, not least because some of our hardest working and lowest paid residents in the borough work shift work. They also work Saturdays in those retail outlets and therefore have very little time for them to take their Christmas shopping. I completely appreciate there might be logistical challenges with the car parks, which perhaps we could have a little bit more information about. I'm interested in hearing some of those challenges, whether they perhaps can be overcome. I also do think that the car parks that lead to the high street are the priority ones, because obviously the Riverside does get an awful lot of footfall by comparison to some of those actually small, more independent businesses that lead to our high street. What I would say, and actually I agree with Councillor Winnington, given that to my knowledge this didn't appear on the Cabinet agenda either, I do wonder if it is possible in the spirit that perhaps we could consider adopting this from the executive, given the challenges that the borough faces, given that there are workers who work shift work, given that there are people who would really appreciate having that on a Sunday, particularly as Sunday charges are lower and therefore the financial impact would lessen. I do think that that could be something that perhaps could be considered. I don't know if that's something that we've discussed, but I do think it's really important that we actually do this, given the money we saved last year, perhaps not.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I've just worked out you've got 3 days to sort the software out to allow egress and entry into the two car parks, and I don't see any reason why that can't be done, unless of course it's the producer that's the contractor.
Can I just ask, with regards to the amendment, how do we stand with the financial implications? Can we take that amendment or not? That's regardless of whether the chief, whether the leader takes any of the decisions, we're talking about the amendment.
So the intention of the original rule is that executive can take consult officer advice if we get the facts before they put a motion to council, and the original motion that was done. I don't have financial implications at the moment. I don't have that information. I'm not sure we have that information with us today.
Can the chief think it would be the point that he made about other contracts for sort of places in the car park, because there would be a risk of people paying for spots in our car parks and then not benefiting from those places being available, whether there would be any legal risk or any sort of implications to that, besides the technical?
Christmas is going to get cancelled.
Mr. Mayor, it's very difficult having not received prior notice of the amendment to give an informed answer to any of these issues. But I am aware that there is contract parking, certainly on Waterside, which I believe includes the weekend period where people will have paid for that parking, and they may be concerned about car parking being offered to others, and it may be that the spaces that are not contract parking may be filled by shoppers, but without being able to discuss the matter with the head of service responsible for car parking, it's very difficult to give members an informed decision. Okay, informed opinion, I should say. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Two things. One, this is the most blatant political opportunism I've seen in this chamber for a long, long time. For goodness sake, it's a good news story and you are dragging it down. Talk about a load of Scrooges. And you're all sat over there. Secondly, Mr. Mayor, I will say that we do not make financial decisions on the hoof, which the office people obviously wants us to do. So, no, there will not be this decision made on the hoof, and we hopefully this amendment will fall.
Wow.
Are you going to do
5,000?
Oh, sorry, it's 1,000. 1,000,
sorry.
and his lack of support for our Saturday workers. And I have to say, I'm one of those people who work on Saturdays. So for people like me, Sundays are the days where we go and do our shopping. And it's the same for a lot of people. I applaud the comments that my fellow councillor said across the room there. Perhaps then we can make the amendments then to not include the riverside and waterfront car parks, but still lift the fees on Saturdays and Sundays, if that would be acceptable. Given that it would offset against last year's lack of free parking at Christmas.
We're going to go to the vote.
Are we voting on the amendments or the
amendment?
On the amendment or not the amendment? The amendment.
Only on the amendment.
Can't take two amendments at once, so then vote on the first amendment. Yeah. Can I just have a clarification? Can we legally take this amendment and vote it on this amendment with the being constitutional implications?
We're a full council, so ultimately, if that's what full council wish to do, my advice, the rules are there for a reason. They are there so that the cabinet can get proper advice, including the finance implications, so they can prudently make recommendations to council. So my advice is that you don't make financial decisions without the informed facts at council, but legally, at full council here, you can choose to make a decision.
Okay. Would we be right in thinking that if we were to pass an amendment which meant that there were financial implications, then it would have to go back to cabinet, presumably. Mm. So we wouldn't be able to do anything this Christmas. And they would have stopped it. Is that true? Is that correct?
Yeah. The rule does say that, and it is designed so that any other financial considerations that haven't already been considered can go back to cabinet, get the proper advice, and then come back with the proper recommendation to council. That's what we're designed to do, and the officer's advice would be that that's the process to follow. But you are sitting as full council tonight. If you wish to waive that rule for tonight, which I would normally advise against, it's for full council to do.
Okay, well. Hey, Mr. Mayor, am I not right in thinking that rule we've just been discussing was actually brought in by the Conservatives when they were in control?
Yeah.
So it seems when they were in control, they wanted to have that rule. Now they're in opposition. They changed their position.
So
the process is I'll call each member's name in alphabetical order. Once you hear your name, please clearly state whether you are for, against, or you abstain from the amendment. Councillor Aspin. Councillor Jane Barron. Councillor Beattie.
For.
Councillor Carter.
For.
Councillor Cook.
Against.
Councillor Cooper.
For.
Councillor Cross.
For.
Councillor Agello.
For.
Councillor Piagello.
For.
Councillor Corden.
Yes.
Councillor Godfrey.
Against.
Councillor Hobbs. Councillor Hood?
Against.
Councillor F. James?
Against.
Councillor R. James?
For.
Councillor Jones?
For.
So that. Councillor P. Jones?
For.
Councillor Kenny?
Lack of information. Against.
Councillor Leeson?
Absent.
Absent. Councillor Loughran?
Against.
Councillor McEwen?
Against.
Councillor Eamon Norton?
Against.
Councillor Deeper Norton?
Against.
Councillor A. Nixon?
Against.
Councillor J. Nixon?
For.
Councillor L. Nixon?
For.
Councillor Pardesi?
Against.
Councillor Pearce?
Against.
Councillor Pert?
For.
Councillor Phillips?
Surprisingly for.
Councillor Powell?
Absent.
Councillor Reid?
And those. You have to be more specific than you want.
Oh, sorry. Councillor Jamie Reid?
Against.
Councillor Amy Reid?
Against.
Councillor Rose?
Against.
Councillor Luttrell?
For.
Councillor Sandy?
For.
Councillor Foley?
Against.
Councillor Winnington?
For.
Experience, views submitted during consultation
These updates include child sexual exploitation, drink spiking, public licensing, and nighttime filming. The revised policy ensures we discharge our statutory licensing functions and that any decisions we make can withstand scrutiny of outside bodies, including the courts. It has been reviewed by our licensing committee and by cabinet, both of which recommend adoption and publication. So as members can see in agenda items 8.1A and B, council is recommended to formally adopt and publish the new policy to authorise the head of regulatory services to make any changes required by legislation or government guidance and mind the variations in the interests of operational efficiency. I so move. Thank you.
Is that seconded? Any comments? Councillor Bird.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I welcome the proposed changes to the policy, not just in terms of this licensing policy, but also the Gambling Act. I think they are a sensible as well as a legal requirement, but I also thank the Cabinet Member for the investment of his time and energy into the whole of his portfolio and not just these two policy updates.
Thank you. Any other questions? No? All those in favour? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's quite appropriate. I'm pleased to propose to members a revised statement of principles required by our Gambling Act, properly referred to as our gambling policy, licensing authorities, licensed gambling premises, which is betting shops and amusement arcades for over 18s and over and bingo halls. Through the policy, the council ensures high standards of compliance, tackles non-compliance operations, protects gambling from the source of crime and disorder, from becoming a source of crime and disorder, protects children and vulnerable adults from harm and exploitation. The policy is being prepared in accordance with statutory guidance from the Gambling Commission and widely consulted on. It ensures we administer functions in accordance with national guidance. It too has been referred by Licensing Committee and Cabinet, both recommend adoption and publication. And so you are recommended to formally adopt and publish and authorise the head of regulatory services to make any changes required by legislation or government guidance and minor variations in the interest of operational efficiency. I second it.
That's seconded.
Seconded, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Tears. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I want to express my support for these proposals. They are very necessary to control the access to gambling on the high street and in other places. Unfortunately, of course, that is not the way in which many people access gambling these days, because so much of it is online. It is a scourge of society. Many, many lives and the lives of their families are being destroyed through gambling, and I think the key is to have even much tighter controls of gambling in that way. But I do welcome what's being proposed here. Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other questions? All those in favour? Thank you. Carried. And move on to Councillor Cook.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, this is a confidential item, so if anybody does want to go into the figures and all the rest of it, we'll go into a closed session, but I hope we won't need to do that. The fact is that the Revenues and Benefits Department needs to upgrade two of their IT systems. The current systems are over 20 years old, which is a very long time in terms of these systems, over 20 years old, and it's intended to move these to a cloud-based solution. The department is very heavily reliant on technology, and the automation of
administration processes to maintain performance is vital. We know that the current systems don't use the latest technology, and they're causing difficulties when we're in use and also to maintain. The market of suppliers for these very specialist systems is limited, and therefore, having considered all of the procurement options, we propose to make a direct award under a framework agreement to the present supplier to upgrade to their most up-to-date systems. The costs shown in the report are the combined costs. In other words, it's a service across both councils. We've got a shared service on this, so we'll pay half the cost each. The supplier has offered various discounts and additional functionality at no extra cost, but only on the basis that this is all signed in December of this year. So we have got to get a move on. These are essential to the project as well. Officers are working with the supplier to gain confidence that all the efficiencies that we expect will be achieved. The contract won't be completed if this is not proven. That's an important point to make. But testing of this is almost complete and the results are very positive. So therefore I'm asking Council to approve the recommendations under Roman numeral 3 at the bottom of page 3 and the top of page 4. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Any questions, Council? Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Without giving the figure away, can I be assured that this is a fixed price contract, and does that include the VAT element as well?
I'm looking at the treasure of the second one.
So the council's registered VAT, however, we do not incur VAT. We claim it's all out of the government, so VAT doesn't match with our contracts in this way. And in terms of the contract being fixed price, it's fixed price for this element of it. If we were to increase the scope or change it, the element presented, the modules that we're purchasing, that element is the fixed price, yes.
Thank you. Can we be assured that Cannock Council can afford to pay their share of this contract? And what happens if that's not the case? Will it then fall to us?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is an interesting one. We're not here to judge on another district council. We make the assumption that if they're working with us financially on this, they have their officers from both groups have been working on this, that yes, they can afford it.
You've not checked.
Well, what a crazy question.
You've not checked. No. You've not checked.
No.
You've not checked.
You can ask him to chip in.
You haven't got an inch of curiosity.
Section 151 officer.
Thank you. So obviously the 151 officer of the council and staff, I can confirm that Cali has sufficient funds for this that people put aside. It isn't a financial risk. I cannot answer that from a financial condition. It wouldn't be an issue here. The contractor obliged to do this.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Could have had that from the cabinet.
All those in favour, please. Please share. That's carried. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, sir. Obviously, I'm speaking to number four here. This is a very important financial decision for the council, and we need to proceed with the very latest advice. Since the cabinet agreed to the principle of proceeding with the purchase of the Civic Centre, independent advice has been commissioned to make sure that the Council's decision is supported by appropriate assurance. Unfortunately, the final piece of the advice has not been received at this time for this meeting. Mr. Mayor, it is only sensible, therefore, for me to move that we defer this item to a future Council meeting, which I look forward to arranging as soon as possible. If a special meeting is needed, I will inform members in good time. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, if the mover of the motion has withdrawn the motion, then it stands to fall tonight, and as you say, we consider a future council.
James, thank you. Yeah. We'll go to Councillor Borden, payment licences.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We'll keep you in very good position. Members may recall that the Levelling Up and Regeneration Act of 2023 made permanent provision for pavement licences. Council is asked to vote the legislation, approve the revised policy in respect of the council's approach, noting that in doing so the council will be following statutory guidance. Also, we're asked to approve a £200 fee set on a full cost recovery basis for a 2-year licence for both new applications and renewals. And also to grant to the Head of Regulatory Services delegated authority to revoke and amend licences and serve other notices and conditions.
Any questions? All those in favour then, please check. Any items referred to the scrutiny committee?
Not Mr. Mayor.
No. Okay. Yes, I think this meeting is closed. I'd like to wish you all a Merry Christmas, of course.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Mayor, if you're standing, the Mayor of the Borough, Councillor Frank James, retired from Council Mayor.